Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 27 of season 3. The show is brought to you by Kitchen Table Communications and the Voice of Bon Bay Radio Network, and we are thrilled that season 3 is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. These days, if you Google Apple, you end up in a tangle of advertising about one of the holiest of tech entities, along with megabytes of solemn adoration from its worshippers. But if you try Apple, the fruit, you'll end up somewhere very different. Originally from Central Asia, humans started domesticating the wild ancestors of the apple tree just a millennium or two after we started domesticating sheep. Apples became a prominent fruit, and they have religious and mythological significance in many cultures, including Norse, Greek, Celtic, pagan, and Christian traditions. While about half of the world apple production is still in China, the fruit is now cultivated worldwide, including in Jamestown on the Bonavista Peninsula, the home of the Crooked Branch Apple Orchard. Today, we'll talk to the visionaries and laborers who founded that orchard, Valerie and John Barron, a couple of food producers who believe that planting an apple tree a day is just a good start.
No apples, naturally, are self-pollinated. So a diploid tree requires another species of tree to bloom at the same time.
If you take any seeds from apples, you just throw them in the woods somewhere. Like, you don't end up necessarily with that variety of the seed that you threw out.
And it's really neat to sell apples at a farmer's market you grew yourself. It's the coolest feeling.
There's a few hurdles we got to get over there before we're doing any farm tours, which is something we're thinking about in the future.
When a cabin and an ocean property that was designed for relaxation gradually evolve into an apple orchard production site, we're seeing human ingenuity and industry at work, and I'm immediately interested. Today our topics will include diploids, whips, grafting, ethylene, how railroads help to spread the apple, the five methods of weed control, such as they are, the upside of apple scabs, and more. Valerie and John Barron and I met on a crisp early December afternoon at one of those fine walking trails halfway up Signal Hill in St. John's, with nary an apple tree in sight, alas, but there were a few planes circling overhead, looking for the airport in the fog. Get your windbreaker and join us.
I'm John Barron.
Hi, I'm Valerie Spencer Barron, and we have an apple orchard in Jamestown, Newfoundland.
Where's Jamestown, Newfoundland?
It's along the Bonavista Highway. You turn down in Lethbridge.
So it's in Bonavista Bay.
Right overlooking the ocean?
Yes, actually the orchard's right on the ocean. We're right across from Terranova Park, so right across the bay from Terranova Park.
Okay, why that area?
Well, we've had a cabin in Jamestown for 30-odd years. My parents gave us a piece of land and looked out at the ocean. It's a beautiful meadow, and it's got a nice look at the bay, and we enjoy that, but when we decided to put in an apple orchard, like I said, where are we going to put it? And this was the open land, so we didn't have to cut down a whole lot of trees. We just had to prepare the soil and so on. And my parents have several apple trees in their yard, so that kind of gave me some interest. And it's like, well, if they can grow apple trees and everybody in the community has apple trees, why can't we grow some? So that's when it started there. Yeah. We had that property. We didn't have to lease anything.
So. Private land, your lease, because, I mean, you get into that whole lease thing and a lot of added startup costs as well. I mean, it's not a bad program. It's great that they're doing that and making it available, but it also was nice to just be able to do it to our own.
Now, there's lots of apples around Newfoundland and Labrador, right? But why do you have to have an orchard?
It started, my wife wanted a few apple trees on the property. She wanted to have a little orchard of her own. And I said, well, you know, if we're going to be doing something like that, we could start our own business. We could actually have an orchard. We could have more than 10 or 12 trees.
Did you realize what you were starting when you said that?
Maybe not. I was within a couple of years of retirement, so I was trying to look at what retirement was going to look like, and then I was thinking, boy, I'd love to run an apple orchard, and 400 trees later, here we are.
Did you feel the same excitement?
Well, there was excitement at the beginning, but we've had some different emotions since then.
So when was this a momentous time when you said, let's do it?
It was late in 2015 when we decided to do it, because unlike a lot of things, when you order apple trees, you have to order them 18 months to 2 years in advance. In some cases, they actually plant the trees when you order them, and then you get two-year whips from them, but in other cases, they they may have some already planted for a year, and then you'll get 2 or 3 year whips. So, you know, your planning has to be that far ahead. So I guess it was the fall of 2015 when we really started asking a lot of questions and getting as much information as we could.
Somebody out there might be saying whip.
I mean, when you buy an apple tree, it's not a tree. It's a single branch, okay, right? And it may be 3 or 4 or 2 feet long. And that's why they're called whips, because it's like, that's all it is, like a whip.
I've heard people having 2 or 3 different varieties on the same tree. Is that how they get that? They just put 3 whips onto the same stalk?
So it's grafted. So what they do is they actually make slits in the side of a tree and they graft another branch on. So if you buy a tree, it may have 2 or 3 different varieties of trees grafted to it so that it's technically a self-pollinating tree. No apples, naturally, are self-pollinating.
You're looking at me in a way like this is a very important point.
Well,
no
it is.
No apples are self-pollinating. You've got to be
careful. Well, most apples
generally
are what we call diploids. Okay. So a diploid tree requires another species of tree to bloom at the same time and pollinate the trees.
Pollination.
Like cherries. There's a few other things that has to happen with as well. Yeah.
So you can't just plant apple trees. You need to make sure there's other plants in the
region. Yeah, other apple trees. Yeah.
Other apple trees.
But there's lots of crab apple trees nearby in almost a lot of small towns, so they help cross-pollinate with like our trees too.
Oh, okay. So even if you don't eat the crab apples, there's a good use for them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, for pollination purposes. Yeah. And then when you talk to people and they say, well, I only have one apple tree in my yard, and I always say, well, your neighbors have apple trees? And they go, well, yeah. I said, well, that's how it happened. They literally don't pollinate by themselves unless they have these grafted branches on them where there's more than one variety.
So if you have more than one variety, you can actually have just one tree in your yard and get apples out of it.
That's right.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So what kinds of apples did you get?
The varieties we have are Nova Spy, Crimson Crisp, and Liberty.
Crimson Crisp, that's a very fashionable apple right now.
It's on the Honeycrisp sort of scale. That's the one we're having problems with, pollination-wise.
Blossoming or blooming at a different time than the Nova Spy and the Liberty.
Okay.
So they're kind of blooming on their own, and then they have lovely blossoms, but then we don't have the fruit later.
Because there's no cross-pollination. And the funny thing is that if this was in Ontario or Nova Scotia, one of the other varieties should have bloomed across it, but because it's Newfoundland, the bloom periods are narrower. Yeah. Originally, when we bought the Liberty, Nova Spy was supposed to be able to pollinate Liberty, but then it was also supposed to be able to pollinate Crimson Crisp. It's just not happened. But the Nova Spy and the Liberty are doing wonderful. So the crab apples we were talking about, we're going to be looking at some crab apple varieties and get those planted around so we'll have some pollination.
Yeah. The kinds of apples, are they tart, nice flavor?
Oh, they're sweet, crunchy, delicious. Like you actually don't want to use them for pies because they're so awesome just when you're eating them.
So they got that crisp flavor. They got that nice little tartness, but then a sweetness finish. They're lovely apples to eat.
So I don't recall seeing any of those varieties in the local grocery stores, oddly enough. Maybe I'm not paying attention.
Well, that's what we've been told, that we kind of got to promote this new apple varieties. Yeah. So we went to the farm and market in Clarenville, and we had samples out for people to try because they've never heard of these before. And that went over well, and a lot of people bought some apples from us by tasting those apples.
And you've had them at Lester's.
Yeah, you know, we did 2 or 3 times at the Clarenville Farm Market. We did some roadside. We did some Facebook sales. And then Valerie had a connection to Lester's Farm, and she called them up and said, are you interested in the apples? And so whatever we had left, they took.
Excellent. So let's go back to 2015. So you decided to do this. You sent me a slideshow of some of the things that you did to the land.
Yes.
So it's not just a matter of putting these little whips in the ground, eh?
No. So, I mean, the fact is that no matter what your land is, you have to break it up. You have to go down about 18 inches and till the soil really heavily.
Did you hit a rock by then?
In a lot
so
of cases.
Many rocks.
So you saw from the pictures that we sent you, it was a 20-ton excavator. Yeah. We paid someone and he had this rake and he went down the 18 inches and he turned the soil over because people were saying, oh, John, you're going to get an auger to plant your trees. And I said, well, no, if I auger down, it'll compact the soil and the roots won't be able to spread out. And by turning over the whole area, that allows for the roots to get spread. So then wherever I dig my hole, the land around it is disturbed. So the roots can spread out much further and the trees will grow better.
I also noticed like yours are slightly different than the apple tree you see in an old-fashioned orchard so that you can pick more easily.
The trees are called semi-dwarf apple trees. So they don't grow to 25 feet tall and then they produce within 4 or 5 years. But their trunk is not all that sturdy, so they need to be supported. And then it has a trellis system so you can train them and you can decide how high you want them to be and how you want them to spread out so they don't crack off and they're sturdier as they grow.
Did you know all of this stuff or were you just on YouTube and whatever else for a couple of years there.
Well, I have a degree in physics, so I have no...
Oh, you can do anything.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I know nothing about biology, but my wife is a wonderful gardener, and yeah. I mean, that's where it all started from, her capabilities and her love for gardening. We learned a lot from talking to the people at the Department of Agri-Foods and Lands. We learned a lot, actually, from a woman who worked for Scotian Gold in Nova Scotia. Yeah. She was just a wealth of information and just a lovely person to talk to. Yeah. So that's where we learned a lot of stuff, and then we did a lot of reading, and then we visited some farms.
We went to Nova Scotia, Annapolis Valley, and we actually visited a couple of orchards there, but they're like thousands of trees. We only have 2.5 acres, and we've got a forested area, and we like to leave that like that, so we don't want to tear that down. And at that point, when we were there in Nova Scotia, it was like a mystery to us, because we've never seen apple trees like that, and we didn't know what questions to ask them at that point. So when we started planting our own trees, we were in the dark, and we didn't know where to start. Yeah. And there was nobody else around that had this system that we have, so we really didn't have anybody else to talk to nearby or any kind of mentorship with anybody that grows those kinds of apple trees. Yeah. So we kind of learned along the way.
When did the WIPs go in?
2018. 2015, the idea, we did the orders and stuff in early 2016. In 2017, we broke the ground up the previous fall. Yeah. We cleaned out areas and we started digging holes for the trees. And then in 2018, early, we were digging holes when the frost got out of the ground.
So that's 4 years ago. Did you get a crop in 2 years?
Or? This is our big year this year.
Your big year.
The other years was a few apples. We just kind of kept them for ourselves.
Sure. A big year being relative, right? We got about 570 pounds of apples. In a big year, if we get everything producing, we could get 4,000 or 5,000 pounds of apples.
Okay. Yeah. So each tree would give?
Probably around 10 pounds of apples on each tree.
Do you have a piece of music that I can use?
I think we had one in mind. It's called Home.
Home. And it's by?
Philip Phillips. Home. And that's what we feel like when we're at our cabin and we're working on our orchard and we look out at the bay and listen to the waves and the babbling brook there. It's a place at peace.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Philip Phillips with his song Home, as requested by my guests Valerie and John Barron. Today we're talking about their orchard off Bonavista Bay. Sometimes there's this stereotype that there's a lot of rain in this province and that being an irrigation salesperson is a lonely job. That's not quite the case.
Do you need to irrigate?
Yeah, we had to set that off. We've had a couple summers where it was really dry. Some of the trees were stressed. So we were using these barrels with water in it and attaching like a garden hoses and doing it by hand. Mm-hmm. And that was becoming such a long process that we decided to do, you know, some more sophisticated irrigation. And then we got some equipment from Lee Valley.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Can't beat Lee Valley.
That's worked out pretty good. We still have these barrels and we just kind of turn the tap and then the water drips out on the line.
So it's gravity-fed drips. It doesn't use any power.
Yeah. I have a sense that the Bonavista area, that apples are not strangers to that area.
There's
a lot of wild apples in that region.
That's right.
There is a lot of wild apples in that area. And I mean, even across the bay in Port Blanford. I mean, Port Blanford has an apple
festival.
And it looks like there might have been an old orchard there from many years ago. Yeah. Everybody around us has apple trees. Yeah. And it's great that the apples are there and then we can get some pollination off of some of them. And then my wife became a beekeeper.
As a result of?
Kind of, in a way. Because because on the mainland, they often rent hives, right,
indeed,
to help with the pollination. So we were thinking about that, but I never planned on being a beekeeper.
No beekeepers ever
It's actually the bumblebees that seem to do all the pollinating, because we've got blueberries in the fields and partridge berries, and you can see the kind of a buzz going on with the blueberries. And then I often see those bumblebees in the blossoms in our orchard, and I don't often see my own honeybees, so I'm not sure where they go the time.
They're going to the neighbors.
That's probably it. Better pollen somewhere else. Yeah.
What sort of advice would you have to people who maybe are interested in doing this on the side?
I advise anybody to start when they're younger.
Doesn't it make you young, though, to start?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of activity, and we're in pretty good shape now from being outside and all the work we do and so on. But start out young and have a piece of property, maybe get some kind of funding and get some help, clear the land, and then work on it slowly. Like, start with a few trees and see how that goes. And then every year kind of add to that and see if your land needs a bit of work. Is it open to the wind? Is it sheltered? And see how the trees survive or not. And then work on that. With us, it was just 4 or 5 years, so they'd have an orchard in no time if they just took their time and they had lots of young people around to help them out with it.
We went with semi-dwarf trees because they only live for 25 or 30 years, and that's okay.
You're not getting any younger.
Well, I mean, it's a retirement project, right? But if you're young and you have another bit of income coming in, or if you've started something else and you're looking to start out on a project like this, give us a call. Yeah. We can have a lovely chat over coffee. We can give you as much advice as you can take. Right now, there's nowhere to sell apples wholesale. And people who are looking for some wholesale don't want to pay what they're worth. We could get to the point where we have a few more apple orchards on the island where we can form a little association where we can actually band together and sell to Coleman's or whatever, allowing then the local apple to become a thing in a grocery store. Yeah. But we need to build the industry. And right now, for high density planting with trellising, we're it.
Have we been spoiled? The apples that you get in the grocery store, half of them are tasteless. Like Red Delicious, where the heck did that name come from? They travel well, I understand.
They do.
But in a way, I think we've lost the taste of a good apple, and so people aren't really buying it. This is my theory.
Well, that's why Honeycrisp has really taken the industry by storm, because it has a lot of flavor.
Yeah.
But the local apples, I can tell you, the Liberty and the Nova Spy that we sold this year, they were delicious apples.
Is there a variety that you'd like to grow next?
We're trying to figure out how to keep the Crimson Crisp alive and have apples on that right now and keep the trees from dying. We've had some issues with the soil, and then the trees seem to be closer to the ocean are not doing as well and not producing. Okay. So I don't know if we're getting an effect from
salt spray.
Yeah, exactly. From the cold wind on that part
of
the land.
Right?
Yeah. Get to mulch them every year again.
Pretty much, you do a little bit of mulching, and every year we sort of around the trees, you weed them, make sure that the nutrients that are getting in are getting to the tree and not to the weeds around the tree. Weeds are a thing.
We've had some challenges over the last few years trying to keep the weeds down. This year we tried three things. John bought this fantastic little doohickey. You can tell him about
The flamethrower, right? Okay. One of those weed burners,
right,
you know?
Weed burner.
And it's literally
like a lot of fun, though.
Oh, they were it was a lot of fun. It was like, it basically is a rebranded roof torch, but you burn the weeds in between, and it actually worked pretty good to kill the weeds off for the first part of the year. Yep. Problem is then once you started getting into the latter part of the year, you can't really burn the weeds in the same way because there's more grass around. You could be a bit drier.
There's actually four things. So another thing was we heard putting cardboard in between the trees to keep the weeds down.
Yep.
So that did in the beginning, but the weeds came up next to the trunk of the trees, and then it kind of the grass grew around the sides of the cardboard.
Yeah.
So we said, what's the point of that? And then I tried, you know, I don't like chemicals a whole lot, but I did some Roundup.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a big spray. It was just like a foam, and I targeted certain weeds.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the best one for keeping the weeds down. We try one more.
We also put landscape fabric between and put mulch on top of it. But once again, the weeds just forced its way up around the sides. And then, of course, the fifth way we did was I have a weed whacker. But it's one of the bladed ones. It's like a brush cutter.
Okay.
And so you just cut the weeds down between. But I got to tell you, it's a lot of labor, and it's weekly. I guess we should probably look at some sort of cover crop and see if we could put something in between the trees. We didn't have any infestations of insects in the apples, but we did have leaf rollers on the trees. So we don't want to use a lot of pesticides either. So even though Valerie is a licensed commercial pesticide applicator, we didn't use any commercial pesticides. We used retail stuff you could buy, domestic pesticides.
Yeah.
And we only did one spraying all year.
Right.
So, I mean, people ask you, well, how many times did you spray? And they're asking all these questions about, are these organic? I said, well, no, they're not. Never claimed they were organic. But, you know, we only did one spray, and then we washed the apples, and we don't spray them with anything to bring them to the farmer's market.
Yeah, we did kind of kind of in the springtime, and then we were too tired to do it again. It was a lot of preparing. Like, you got to have the right equipment on. You got to mix the product. Got to do it later in the evening or early in the morning when it's not windy and it's not raining and it's not too hot. So there's a lot involved.
If I took one of your Nova Spy apples and I planted some of those seeds, I wouldn't necessarily get a Nova Spy tree out of that. Is that true?
A semi-dwarf or a dwarf tree is grafted on a different rootstock. So the Nova Spy tree is grafted on a different rootstock, a dwarfing, an actual dwarfing or semi-dwarfing rootstock. Okay. A different version of a tree altogether. It's not the same species.
It's still an apple tree of some
kind? It's still an apple. Yeah, it's still
it
an apple tree.
It could be a crab apple.
But it could be a crab apple. Yeah. It's designed to produce fruit faster and keep the trees from getting too tall. Okay. So that rootstock doesn't allow the tree to get particularly tall and does produce apples fast.
So if you take any seeds from apples, you just throw them in the woods somewhere. Yeah. Like, you don't end up necessarily with that variety of the seed that you threw out. So it could be a wild apple tree, or it could be a lovely apple tree, and maybe over the years you'll have apples on it, but that may not be from whatever the apple seeds came from. So it could be anything.
Well, you can save your seeds.
You can save your seed, but you don't know what
you're going to get on the other end.
I find in along the railroad tracks, what used to be the railroad track, there's a lot of wild trees. Is that because people threw out their apple cores?
That's exactly it.
That
That's the story.
That's the story. That is.
People were having snacks, and they finished with their apple, and there you go.
The engineers would drive by, they'd throw their apple core out the window, and that's where all those trees came from. Because they weren't planted. My father worked for the railway. They were never planted.
They never planted any apple trees along the railway.
No, well, because they wouldn't. Yeah. They actually would want that railway bed to be good for 12 feet from the center on either side. Yeah. So those apple trees are right there. They had to be from that.
It's a good thing they weren't eating pineapples or oranges. We'd have those in the side of the
road. Oh, yeah. They probably wouldn't survive in our climate, right?
Well, there it is. I mean, that'll just prove to you that apples will grow.
Was Home by Philip Phillips. The music choice of my guests today, John and Valerie Barron of the Crooked Branch Apple Orchard in Jamestown on the currently fashionable Bonavista Peninsula. Let's head back to our chat.
Have you ever thought about going into cider or apple butter?
Well, I've made apple butter and it's absolutely delicious. Yeah. But I didn't want to take my beautiful apples this year and then put that in there.
We made a bit of fresh cider from some of those that the birds pecked, right? We do have a cider press, but you need a grinder as well. Yeah, and then if you're going to be selling something like that at a farmer's market, you have to do it in a commercial kitchen. Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of regulations. Yeah. We actually talked to a few people that own a cidery in Clarenville. And
Newfoundland Cider Company?
Right.
And we were talking to them early on, just after the trees had been planted, and he gave us a lot of advice if we wanted to go down that route, what to do.
And he has a background in horticulture, so he picks certain varieties that are best for making cider.
And where we picked varieties that were apple scab resistant, because scab's in all the land here, he picked ones that he didn't care. He just was looking for the best cider apple, because scab actually makes the apple sweeter.
Well, that's what we said growing up all the time. You'd look for the apple with the scab, a wild apple.
Yeah. Or whatever. They were a bit sweeter because that's the tree's response to the scab is to produce more sugars. It's a defense mechanism.
What's your favorite food? It doesn't have to be apples.
What's my favorite food?
Yeah.
Turkey.
Turkey.
Burn none. A turkey dinner
turkey
is my
dinner.
Favorite dinner.
You only get it twice a year.
I could eat turkey all day long. How about you?
Oh, well, I like moose actually because my dad is a moose hunter and then he's got a freezer full of ground moose and moose roast. It's just as good good as roast beef, and it's better for you.
You have problems with moose?
Oh, right. Well, you know, there's not as many moose around that come around people's properties anymore. But we had bunny rabbits come a couple of years when the snow was so high, and they nibbled on the trees at the top. They just walked across the snow. And
you're expecting you'll have more every year for a number of years?
I'm hoping that we'll have a good harvest this coming year. But that being said, some of our trees were heavily laden with apples this year. And sometimes when apple trees are heavily laden with apples, they don't produce the next year. They rest. If we were really good this year, we should be budding some of them. So instead of leaving four or five apples on one little tiny branch, we should be taking the buds off, leaving two apples. They'll grow a little bit bigger. Okay. And then the tree will use more energy. The apples will be produced well. And then that tree will not need to rest year to year either.
Right.
We just couldn't do it because some of the trees, they just were wickedly full of apples.
I bet when it's blooming, though, it's pretty.
It is pretty.
Do you get weddings, try to book the place?
Well, we're not quite ready for that yet because you have to have insurance for people coming onto your property.
Of course, because they'll trip, right?
Yeah. And they could sue us if they fall down or something.
It's not a wedding party.
No, I know what you're saying.
They're in a good mood.
Yeah. Lots of people drive by just to look at our operation. Yeah. We've had people come from even Port Rex when they were just out for a drive and they'd heard about the orchard, so they were coming by and just stopping and looking. Yeah. Or if we're out there doing something, they would ask us questions about it. We don't have washroom facilities either or parking for people. So there's a few hurdles we got to get over there before we're doing any farm tours, which is something we're thinking about in the future.
We're looking at farm tours and we're looking at the agritourism side of things. That's really something she wants to explore.
Yeah.
So the wedding pictures in bloom and the tours of the facility or someone coming in to help us with doing something with the trees. Any of those things.
U-pick?
Well,
you
pick, you have a lot of wastage in U-pick. Right? You get a lot of wastage, you get a lot of damage, and it's only 400 trees. Now, if I ever get 4,000 pounds of apples, that's a good question. Now, how long it take us to pick them?
Yeah. You never know. We might pick a section that would be a U-pick.
A U-pick. We might do that in the future, but we're not at that point of maturity in the operation yet. So, I mean, now we have a couple of years to think about what's next. A little bit of agritourism, a little bit of tours here and there, a little bit of photo things, and then maybe part of it becomes a U-pick in the future.
Is it September? When do you pick? What month?
October.
I think it was October this year.
Do you have to do it over several days, or is everything ripe at the same time on a tree?
It takes a long time to pick apple trees, and we wash them and everything, too. And then we got to find a place to store them, so we can't pick them all at one time, because we don't have any kind of storage facilities.
You don't have a cooler.
No.
And that's one of the things we have to look at in the coming years as well. But it was nice to leave them on the tree and then pick them as we needed them to go up to the farm market. So everything was fresh picked. It's only 3 or 4 days off the tree when we brought it up to people. Now, those apples keep. Those apples are better if you leave them out in the air for 3 or 4 days, they become a little bit better to eat, right? Yeah. Not as hard. But the apples are keeping in cool temperatures. They'll keep for months. But you have to be careful with apples because they produce ethylene gas, and ethylene gas can then, if you have other vegetables stored around them, it actually can cause your potatoes to...
put it in with green tomatoes. Put an apple in.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, right.
It ripens quicker.
Yeah.
Ethylene gas is what it produces, and it can cause other things to ripen quicker.
I've been aging faster since I've been doing that.
That's what's going to happen to us. We're
getting
old because we're on ethylene gas all day.
So that used to be a cabin where you went just for leisure, and now you go and there's all this work to do.
We do enjoy being there, but now we've got something to do and kind of got some challenges. Yeah. So we're not just sitting there looking out at the ocean.
We don't have TV, and the only internet we have off is our phone. So, I mean, that's not the purpose of the cabin. The cabin's the place to get away from all the electronics, and like Valerie says, it gives us something to do. And it's really neat to sell apples at a farmer's market you grew yourself. It's the coolest feeling.
People who got your apples and talked to you, does it make you feel differently about what consumers want out of their food? What were they so excited about?
I think they like the fact that it's local. You know, we're importing a lot of our fruit from other provinces, and we can have more of these projects on the go.
Pears? You have pears in the future?
Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to say. So. We're looking at other things. We've talked about high bush cranberry.
We've
talked about a couple of other things. We don't know what's in the future. One of the things I find with people with the apples is they're so surprised the apples are as good as they are. For a locally grown apple, they bite into the apple and they go, oh my God, that's a locally grown apple? That's the thing they really
They're surprised about that.
But I mean, this was a fantastic growing season. There's a tree in Victoria Park, still has red apples on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And this is December 2nd.
Yeah, because the growing season was just amazing this year. Couldn't ask for better.
Well, Valerie and John, thanks so much for taking the time. And thanks for sending me some pictures. And next time up in that area where the blooms might be there, I'll drop by.
Please do.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you. It was our pleasure.
All the best next season.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
And I was thinking, boy, I'd love to run an apple orchard, and 400 trees later, here we are.
There was excitement at the beginning, but we've had some different emotions since then.
Right now, there's nowhere to sell apples wholesale, and people who are looking for some wholesale don't want to pay what they're worth.
It's actually the bumblebees that seem to do all the pollinating. I often see those bumblebees in the blossoms, and I don't often see my own honeybees.
But the scab actually makes the apple sweeter, because that's the tree's response to the scab, is to produce more sugars. It's a defense mechanism.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. To send me a message, email me at iemke@grenfell.mun.ca. For music on today's show, we heard singer-songwriter and American Idol winner Philip Phillips with the song Home. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was performed this week by Tom Collins, the fretless banjo player, not the mixed drink. This show was made possible by a grant from the Community Radio Fund of Canada and is produced by the Voice of Bombay Radio Network and Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
I advise anybody to start when they're younger.
We're getting old because we're on ethylene gas all day. Because I'm going to make this place your home.